Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now, Vinny Talks Baseball. You know him from Masson Sports. You've followed him around this part of town for years and years and years as he's hosted sports talk shows. You talk about a baseball authority and aficionado. Our next guest is this guy. He's on the Ackerman Security Hotline. He is Phil Wood. Phil, good afternoon.
Hi, boys. How are things over there in what's that part of town called now?
Mount Washington.
Mount Washington, yes.
Right. It's lovely, except for the gray clouds overhead. But
well,
we're inside.
I just heard the ad for the Baltimore 10 miler, so I'm assuming you're both signed up for that.
That's a negative.
No,
I don't run anymore,
and I don't run any less. I just don't run. Period. Phil Wood. All right, Orioles, I know you've been on the Nats beat a lot, but 8-3, best record in Major League Baseball right now. And Trey Mancini, what's your surprise factor? And we saw glimpses of him last year. He's been in the system since 13. This guy's mashing away. Looks like he's been in the Major Leagues for 10 years.
Well, the one thing you learn after 40-plus years of covering Major League Baseball is that there are a few trends established in the first dozen games of the season. Now, having said that, what Mancini's done is remarkable, and obviously you go back to the last week of spring training when people are debating whether or not he's going to be on the ball club. Well, I think he's ready, but it still comes down to there's 150-some games left to play, so let's see how this plays out. We've seen other guys come along and have remarkable beginnings to their careers, and this is another one. But we should check back maybe mid-May and see where he's at that point.
Hey, Phil, I was watching the Nats the other day when Scherzer was pitching, and it just didn't seem like he and Wieters were on. He seemed like he got very frustrated with Wieters with the three wild pitches.
Well, you know, one of the wild pitches, Wieters said afterwards, he should have blocked. But as Max himself said after that game, he said, look, I pitched okay. He says, but I threw three wild pitches and hit a guy. That's not me. I mean, he pitched well enough to win. They just didn't score any runs. I mean, the Nats have faced some pretty good starting pitching so far this season. But in general, the Nats pitchers talk about Matt Wieters as a guy that that they think is, if he's not the 10 of catchers, he's close to it.
Okay.
The big advantage he has over Wilson Ramos is that Ramos had issues with place to plate when they changed the rule, the whole Buster Posey rule. And Wilson never quite knew where to position his feet, but Wieters, with the long legs and the long arms, positions himself perfectly and can make that sweep tag. But it's a work in progress, obviously. Wieters last year was not playing every day with the Orioles. With the Nationals, he has started all but one game, and he's swinging the bat decently, too.
Now, how is his pitch framing?
Well, you know, that's one of those things that I think is somewhat overrated. You talk to hitters, and hitters will say, well, wait a minute, pitch framing? Those guys are stealing strikes. Well, that's the whole point of the exercise, but pitch framing is something that the backup catcher for the Nationals, Jose Lobaton, does exceptionally well, but doesn't hit as well as Wieters. They like the way that Wieters they like his arm, certainly. They like his ability to keep pitches from going through his legs, which is another issue that Ramos had, the so-called five-hole. But in general, I mean, they like the fact that he's ready to play every day. And in terms of pitch framing, the Nationals' attitude is, well, our guys throw a lot of strikes. You know, we don't really need to steal that many strikes.
Now, the division with Miami and the Mets down there, how do you like those two teams?
Well, I mean, right now, Miami is tied with the Nationals for the top spot, and the Mets are half game out. But as I said, you really haven't seen any trends established yet. Miami, those guys can swing the bat, and they got a couple of guys who throw the ball extremely well. But as we get through the rest of the season, I think you got to keep a bigger eye, or a closer eye anyway, on the Mets. Their starting pitching is, at least on paper, right up there with the Nationals. Miami's is not. The Mets have got some guys who can swing the bats. But it's interesting to watch some of the other teams. Atlanta, brand-new ballpark, two guys over 40 in their starting rotation. Colon pitched a great game over the weekend. But they don't have enough of everything else. They've got some guys who swing the bats, but they've got essentially a ball club that's designed to not embarrass themselves the first year in the ballpark. I think this is a club that will probably win 75 to 80 games. I don't think they'll finish over 500, and I think the Phillies are going to be in pretty much the same boat. The imagine where the Marlins would be, though, if not for what happened to Jose Fernandez, which really crushed that team. And I think in terms of trying to fill in the blanks, Edinson Volquez has pitched okay, but he's no Jose Fernandez.
No, absolutely not. But he gets paid like an ace, and I guess that's all that matters to some there, Phil Wood. Get back to the Nats. Their playoff failures, if you will, have been well documented. And I know you talk about you can't have trends figured out greatly through 12 games, but every other year they're in the postseason. Is that something that gnaws at them? The fact that, you know, we're good enough and we have the best record this, we win our division that, but they haven't even gotten to the NLCS, much less the World Series.
That's correct. And I think if you go back and look at those years, 12, 14, and 16 in the postseason, and I think in all three of those games, all three of those series-deciding games, you saw Nats managers make tremendous blunders with the pitching staff. Davey Johnson in 12 left Gio Gonzalez in the game too long. He ended up using Edwin Jackson in relief, where he was not used to pitching and did not pitch well. 14, Matt Williams takes Jordan Zimmerman out of a game where he's dealing. I mean, he's only got a 1-0 lead. He's coming off pitching a 1-0 no hitter against the Marlins in the last regular season game, and there he is in game two in D.C. against the Giants, and he walks a guy in the ninth inning, and Williams doesn't go out and say, you know, go get him, we believe in you. He takes him out of the game. And the bullpen fell apart at that point on a very cold evening. And then Dusty Baker, in his decision to take Max Scherzer out of game five against the Dodgers last fall, Scherzer, again, was dealing, and Jock Peterson leads off the seventh inning with basically ambushes a first-pitch fastball, hits a fence-scraper home run. And Dusty takes Scherzer right out of the game. Again, it's you had situations in all three of those games where decisions were made with the pitching staff that I thought in each case was absolutely wrong.
Now, Bryce Harper is off to a much better start than the way he finished the season last year.
Oh, yeah. Listen, he looks like he wants everybody to forget what happened last year. And I think we know now that he had an issue with a muscle in his neck that every time he would try to stride towards the pitcher with his swing, he'd get a sharp pain in his neck, and he would end up essentially pulling off the ball. A lot of people looked at the series last year against the Cubs early in the season where he got off to a good start. The Cubs came to town and walked him every opportunity. But he says that really wasn't the issue, and I think now we know. I looked at Harper last year much the same way, and I'll go back a long way here, but most of you in the audience will recall the name Ted Williams. Williams won the 1958 batting title with the Red Sox, and in 59 came back and hit .254 because he had a muscle in his neck that gave him problems every time he tried to stride into the baseball, and everyone said, oh, he's too old, he's done. Then he came back in 1960 at the age of 42 and hit .328 with 29 home runs. So I think in Harper's case, Harper's obviously a much younger body than Williams, but had a very similar reaction to a very similar injury. And so far, I mean, Bryce, he's a lot more patient at the plate. He's drawing walks. He's hitting a long ball. Yesterday, obviously, very dramatic walk-off three-run homer in the bottom of the ninth.
A long one at that.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Wood joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking some baseball. Phil from Masson Sports. Check him out weekly, daily, as he talks baseball with other experts on that fine channel. Phil's on the Ackerman Security Hotline. Now, Bryce Harper, we know the contract status. Manny Machado was quoted in the New York Post or one of the tabloids last week saying, yeah, I know when we go there, it's going to be crazy with the media speculating this, that, and the other thing about a possible team up together. Manny has said in the past that he'd be open to contract extension talks with the Orioles, but nothing has been initiated, at least that we know of. Carlos Correa's people have already said no interest in doing that at this point in time. Where does Harper stand on maybe getting a deal done in D.C. before he hits the open market, or is that pipe dream stuff?
Well, Bob, you know, it's interesting. I think if you go back and you read some of the statements that Bryce has made publicly over the past few years, he talks a lot about the traditions of the game and talks a lot about the great players who spent their entire careers with one team and how that was always his dream to have a, you know, a 20-year career with one team. Now, keep in mind, when the Nationals re-signed Steven Strasburg to a contract extension, everyone assumed Strasburg's going to the West Coast. Oh, he's a West Coast guy. He's going to end up back there. And all the while, negotiations were going on between Scott Boras and the Lerner family, who owned the Nationals. And, of course, they end up with a 7-year contract extension. I think that was basically that firing the first shot in the Harper sweepstakes, because Bryce was able to see, and as was Scott Boras, gee, when push comes to shove, the Lerners will pony up the money. Now, funny thing, yesterday during the post-game show, somebody called in on the radio show I do, and they said, gee, after they sign Harper, will there be enough money left to sign 8 other players to field a team? You know, it's one of those things where people talk about who's going to be the first $400 million player, and right. Maybe it's going to be Harper, maybe it's going to be Machado. The fact that they're both going to be free agents at the same time, I mean, the cash is going to be flying left to right.
How's the attendance been down there?
They've done well. Actually, over the weekend, they had a sellout on Friday, on Good Friday. They drew 36,000 on Saturday and a few shy of 30,000 yesterday on Easter Sunday. So, in general, they've drawn well. Even the people tend to look at the second game of a season, and after you have a sellout on opening day, that the crowd dwindles the second day. Well, even the second day, they had 22,000, where most other teams had 15 or 20.
Phil Wood joining us here on The Fan. What do you think of the rule changes speeding up the game? It's working like a champ so far, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I guess they've saved 16 or 17 seconds along the way with those automatic intentional walks. What really burns me, though, I mean, if you're a big-time baseball fan, do you want to see them start the 11th inning with runners on first and second base?
No.
I mean, that makes me want to vomit. I mean, it's the idea that you could have somebody on base score a run. Is that an earned run? It can't be an earned run because the guy didn't earn his way to second base. They
right.
gave it to him. I mean, I think it completely fouls up the traditions of the game. Now, I have no problem with if they want to have a 20-second clock for between pitches. I like the idea that you only have now 30 seconds to decide whether to call for a replay. That I like. But the idea of absolutely bastardizing the game with this ridiculous extra inning proposal, which the commissioner of baseball seems to want to embrace, that's just awful.
I would be extremely unhappy if they did that. I'd be, quite frankly, mad at baseball.
Well, yesterday, Tulowitzki stepped out of the box like 3 different times.
That's what they needed. Hey, Phil Wood, how many times do you remember Pete Rose stepping out of the box between every pitch?
Well, Pete was a guy who didn't always need to readjust his cup.
Right.
I mean, that's one of those things where we didn't really see anybody do that a lot until Hargrove came along with the Texas Rangers back in the 70s, and they all, you know, he was the human rain delay, and he had to step out between every pitch. I think, again, it's one of those things, if the umpires would start enforcing that and say, keep one foot in the box, do not walk over there, and tell the pitchers, quit stalking around the mound after every pitch, let's get this thing rolling. You know, in the wintertime, I go down and I teach at my alma mater, Austin Peay, and I teaching a class this past semester. I'm able to play old broadcasts in class, and so I played an old radio broadcast of a baseball game from the late 1930s, and we played it for 2 innings, and I stopped the tape and I said, "All right, what do you notice here?" And the kids all go, "It went so fast. They just kept throwing the baseball around." I said, "That's right. That's the way it was back then, because you didn't have television, which basically slowed everything down." And of course, year before last, baseball okayed an extra minute between innings on national television broadcast. So there's another 18 minutes right there you could knock off the clock.
Yeah, I don't want to see that first and second to start extra innings. That would be unacceptable.
Because yesterday, Bundy was standing on the mound waiting, and Tulowitzki stepped out one time twice in the same at-bat.
Yeah.
Well, the umpire has control of that. He can say, get back in there. Let's play ball. Or he could direct Bundy to throw a pitch.
Or go Ken Kaiser and just pick him up and body slam him into the box and make sure he pays attention to what's happening. Phil Wood, we appreciate the time. We'll be watching you and the Nats on Masson, of course, throughout the course of the year. And we'll be catching up in a couple of weeks here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Phil Wood on the Ackerman Security Hotline talking some baseball with us.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.